we are in the in a series called the Lord's Prayers, where we're looking at the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." This is the words he gave to them. So we're looking at that, but also other prayers that Jesus prayed. And we're kind of taking one aspect of the Lord's Prayer and we're combining it with other prayers that Jesus prayed. And we are, what we put right in the middle of this sermon series is the week of 24/7 prayer. And I just want to thank all of you that were part of it. I mean, over 100 people, that's pretty cool thing, and showing up in middle of the night and things like that. It's been very good. I want to thank Camille because she put a ton of time into it, and I've gotten a lot of positive feedback about the room, but also in just the details of making sure people know how to get in and it's still a secure building and all of that. There's just a lot to it, and I'm grateful for her and what she has allowed for us to enter into together. One story that I'll share from the week is I showed up and was walking in the parking lot, or actually I was leaving, it doesn't matter. I saw someone in the parking lot, and they were coming to pray, and I went over to greet them, and they did not have their walker with them. And they were very nervous about getting into the building. They were signed up for prayer, and so I helped them get into the building and waited with them, and then helped them get to the door, and I knocked on the door, nothing, kind of opened the door, and the person looked like, is something wrong? And I said, well, we're here for prayer. She said, it's 5 o'clock. It is. I'll get my stuff. And then as she left, she said, get ready for the fastest hour of your life. And then she walked out. And so I think there's a way in which we can think that, what would I do to pray for 30 minutes or an hour? Everybody's signing up for an hour. But I've heard a lot of that the time just flew by, that most people in an hour couldn't even get through all the stations because of the way they took them. And so I want to start with some action steps. And the first action step, I don't know if it is what order I gave it to you. Yes, that's the right one, is to sign up and pray. We aren't, like, at midnight tonight doesn't mean the room is done. I mean, it's going to be stay set up for that. And you can even sign up still to, like, this is the half hour or hour or however many, it's by half hours. This is what I want to make sure that you can get it at that time. The building is only open at certain times, but if you want to come at a different time, middle of the night or a weekend or something, you can email the church office or Camille, and then she can get you the one-time pass where you can get in just for your prayer time and then get out when the building is locked up. So I know that there are people that even went to sign up Sunday. Multiple people told me they went to sign up Sunday. Last week, Sunday was already full. So maybe you didn't get as much time in there as you wanted, or maybe you didn't even get in there at all. Hopefully, this isn't just like, well, we do this for a week and then we're done. We keep praying, and I'll explain why I think that's the case. And another thing, what I was beginning to talk about in announcements is that this week, Upper Room, so we have that every week, although we are taking a break this summer once VBS starts until after Nationals. But you can come and go, but there's live worship and prayer up in the Upper Room, and you just show up and you can engage how you want to engage in it. But occasionally we do a special one. This is where we have Fire Keepers Night, about how do we keep the fire of prayer and worship burning. So I'm going to talk a little bit, just really briefly, mostly it's going to be worship and prayer, about how we're doing this, how we're making sure someone's praying on site every day of the week, and how you can be part of it. And there's entry points and exit points on that. Anyway, all that aside, I just have an expectancy that after there's been prayer happening for this whole week, there's something about this night that I think is going to be significant. So consider showing up. But if you can't get there right at 6:30, that's okay. I'm probably going to share some things around 7, and then you can come and go as you want after that. All right, that's one other thing to consider. And then lastly, pray the Lord's Prayer every day. And we aren't a church that says the Lord's Prayer every week like the church I was in growing up. And so some of you may not even know it, but we have bookmarks with it, and you can take those with you, whether you know it or not, if you'd like. And there's something to knowing the Lord's Prayer well that will help you to pray in the way I'm going to talk about today. So I grew up, and we said the Lord's Prayer like every time in church, but also it was part of my bedtime ritual as a little kid. So we said the Now I Lay Me, and then we said the Lord's Prayer. And so for whatever reason, I don't know how things work, but you know, when my parents stopped tucking me in on a regular basis, I still felt like, well, you got to say those prayers before you go to bed. And so, but it was just sort of, it's like, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those trespasses, and the kingdom come, the will. Like a lot of times, that was the prayer. Like you know, you got to do it. Now, there's not a lot of meaning happening in that. I think it's still probably not all bad that a kid thinks he needs to do it. Oh, man. This happens about once every 3 weeks where I step on my shoelace. And usually I just ignore it, but then I've seen other people have told me they notice and then they get nervous for me. Now all can be at peace. All right. So, but there's a way in which this prayer that Jesus taught us can be prayed for hours. And part of why I think people could say the time went fast is that the stations in there are based on the Lord's Prayer. And so if you enter into those, you don't have to, but if you did, there's a way in which you can really sit in all these aspects that Jesus taught us for quite a while. So the grounding passage of this series is Luke 11, 1 through 4. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So what we've talked about, because we're kind of going through each of these aspects, is that when Jesus started, he started with Father. He started with, like, before you just start praying, like, let's remember who we're praying to. And Jesus is praying to the one who said, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. And then Jesus said, hey, I have died for you. If you want to be part of taking my life, you can be part of my family. I'm not ashamed to call you brothers and sisters, so we can say together, our Father. And so before we start praying, or as we start praying, we can remember, like, we're praying to the one who loves us. We're praying to the one who oversees heavens and galaxies, yet also is right here and cares about me. And Jesus goes on in Luke 11, we looked at the first week, to eventually say, like, he's a good father who wants to give good gifts, so ask him. Just ask him for things. He's going to give you good gifts. And in fact, the rest of what Jesus says when he teaches how to pray is just ask for this, ask for this, ask for this, ask for this, ask for this. So we've got this good Father who loves us, and we can ask for good gifts. And then the next week we talked about what Jesus prioritized as the very first thing to ask for. It's strange to me, hallowed be your name. Like, the first thing he asks for is, like, may your name be glorified. May people know you as you really are. May people come to see you as you really are. That's the first thing he asks for. That's not the first thing I ask for. But it's becoming a prayer I'm praying more since we started this series. And boy, does your perspective on life switch when you start to move the priority list of what Jesus says is a priority up to for you to be a priority. When you start praying over and over again, glorify your name in my life. May people know what you're really like from me in my life. And you start praying prayers like that, now the whole way we're living feels a little bit different. And then last week we talked about your kingdom come. You know, what God wants to happen, may it happen. May your kingdom come in this place, in this organization, in this situation. May your kingdom come. May your will be done, even if it's different than mine. Most of my prayers are, God, may my will be done. Please, would you have my will done over here? I would love it if my will could just be done right here. And there's nothing actually wrong with that. It is great to be honest with God of what we really want. That is, I mean, we aren't going to fake him out. So it's okay to do that. That's part of a relationship with him. But part of prayer is also meant for us to shift. Jesus' prayer is not my will, but your will be done. And so part of it is like, I want what I want to match what you want. And that's part of what prayer does. It gets us on the same page with him. Now, those prayers, those first asks, have that pronoun, your. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Now we're shifting in what we're asking for, because the pronoun becomes us. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. There's a way that there's a shift happening now And so what I want to do with the rest of this message is just talk about how this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, how you can take that one little line, idea that Jesus gave us, and you can just pray all sorts of ways out of that one little line. So when it says daily bread, give us this day our daily bread, it's saying daily bread, bread is food. Back then it was like sustenance, a basic element. It's a basic thing for life. So it probably meant more than bread. It probably even meant more than food. Give us what we need today. When I say, give us this day our daily bread, give me my daily bread today, it's give me what I need today. Give us what we need today. So to help illustrate that, we have been looking at all kinds of prayers that Jesus prayed, like the words he spoke as he was praying, as they're recorded in Scripture. Today, I'm going to take a little different angle on a couple of those. Listen to this story. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So here is one of the accounts of the feeding of the 5,000. We have 4 accounts of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and each different things. There is not a lot of stories, apart from like the crucifixion, resurrection, there's not a lot of stories that end up in all 4. But this is one of them. So this must be an important story for believers. So, verse 14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed the sick. One of the things that I think about praying, he is seeing to people's physical needs. He healed the sick. Part of this prayer of daily bread could even be like, when I need to be healthy. Give me today what I need to be healthy. Now, verse 19, though, is what I really want to pay attention to, because this is where he prays. And Jesus directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke it. Now, he gave thanks, sometimes it's just translated, he blessed it. And there is a way in which this is almost certainly the prayer that Jesus would have prayed, if you can bring that up next, Adam. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Because this is the Jewish prayer that they would pray when they broke the bread. This is the prayer they still pray. You know, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Now, what strikes me about this is that Jesus would have been raised with every time he went to eat, like, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. It comes from you. Now, I don't think this way. I don't think about food coming from God. I feel like food comes from the grocery store and my paycheck, and like that's just where it comes from. I don't think a lot about it. I don't think a lot about it at meals, much less think a lot about it like on the go. I'm not saying, blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, for this granola bar. That comes from you, I'm pretty sure. No, I'm thinking like, no, I'm almost entitled to getting my food. Like, of course I get food. Of course I deserve food. With no connection to God. It's funny to me that some of the people who are most in touch with the fact that food comes from God are the people who bring food to us, farmers. they often have more of a sense of like, there's a cooperation with God for us to have our food, and we're dependent on God for food to come forth. They're connected to you, but not me. I'm not thinking about soil is needed and God's got that and how plants grow and sun and like there are things way beyond humans to produce food. And every time we eat, it's a gift. He's given us daily bread. He's given us beyond just bread. And it's always, he is the source of it. So when I did growing up, you know, come Lord Jesus, be our guest. And let these gifts to us be blessed. Then we can eat. Oh, give thanks to you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. That was another thing that we said. We're giving thanks. We are stopping every time we eat. Be present at our table, Lord. Be here and everywhere adored. These morsels bless and grant that we may feast in paradise with thee. That was a prayer that we'd throw in every once in a while when we'd eat. Now, what happens when you pray every day, give us our daily bread, give us what we need today, including food. Give us what we need today to meet our physical needs. And every time you eat, you say, thank you for this. There is a way in which we get more in touch of how much God cares for us. A lot of my prayers are built on anxiety about the future beyond the day. I am anxious about, I am overwhelmed about what's going to happen. And give us what we need today. And then stopping, thank you for giving us what we needed today. It just shifts something internally in us. So part of that prayer can be, God, give us what we need today physically. Food, clothes, to be healthy. Give us what we need today physically. That's kind of a point message. A clear interpretation or application is the word I'm looking for. Clear application of this. But now, if we know Jesus, then we know he might be operating when he talks about bread on more than one level. So let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So here we see Jesus fasting. That's an aspect of praying. Fasting, he gives up food for a certain time. He says no to physical food, which we all need, which he says to pray for daily, to focus on the spiritual, the relational, the emotional, to focus on that, because we don't just operate on physical. We don't just live off of physical. That's what Jesus says. He says, humans don't live off of bread alone or off of food alone. One time when he's not eating and the disciples are trying to get him to eat, he says, my food is to do the will of the Father who sent me. Like, I've got food to eat you don't know anything about. Like, there's another energy source. And so some of us feel like we're starving because we haven't eaten in a few hours. But our souls, we haven't been feeding at all. And Jesus says, we need that. It's funny, he's quoting a verse in Deuteronomy. And then Deuteronomy talks in that passage about manna. So it's talking about stories that we have from Exodus and Numbers where bread rained from heaven every day and they were pick up enough for the day. And if you picked up more than you needed for the day, it just spoiled. And for 40 years, you just got what you needed for the day, with the exception of one day, you could take 2 days worth because you had Sabbath and rest and you didn't need to go gather that day. But that, there is this sense of like, you will give us what we need today. Like, God wanted to teach us that. It's not that we can't plan or save. We should do those things. But don't live with the anxiety of it, because all of that could just go away in a moment. We have no idea what's going to happen a year from now. Except this, we will still have a Father in heaven who will take care of us, who will give us what we need each day. And so that would include needing to hear from him, needing messages from him. Every day I need direction. Every day I need encouragement. Every day I need to know I'm loved. These are things that come from God's word, that comes from him speaking to us. So give us this day our daily bread. It means give us what we need today physically, but it also means give us what we need today spiritually. Okay, Next, I want to go back to that story on the feeding of the 5,000 and just look more carefully at one verse, maybe another verse, but for sure this verse. Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." So there, the disciples say, "Hey, we need to feed these people. We can't feed these people. We don't have enough to feed these people. We got to get them." And he says, "You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat." Now, here's something that I notice about this prayer. When he says, "Give us this day our daily bread," he does not say, "Here's how you should pray. Give me today my daily bread." He doesn't say, "Give me today my daily bread." He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And so part of what we pray when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," is we pray for other people. And literally, especially maybe out of this prayer, we pray for people who don't have enough food, who don't have what they need. They don't have their physical needs met. And we know that Jesus wouldn't just say, "Give us today our daily bread," and just pray it so that it matches. It's good to pray it. It's good to pray it for people in the Congo or Sudan or Syria or these places where, I mean, there's massive things. And also in our communities where there's food insecurities. It is good to pray for those people. And that can be part of this prayer. But I contend to say, well, I'm not going to do anything. It's just overwhelming. Like, I can't help all the people. I get all these messages about all these people who need all these things. And so since I can't do it, I just shut down and do nothing. And Andy Stanley is a pastor who says, "Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone." And that's helpful. So what can we do to help people in their daily needs, including with food? Now, Jesus, it says he took the bread, the food from them, and he looked over heaven and he gave thanks or he blessed it and he broke it and then he gave it to them and then they gave it out and it multiplied. There is something that happens, I think, when we just give gifts in the name of Jesus to the work of the Lord, for the sake of the Lord, there's something that happens that multiplies. But there's also something that happens that multiplies when we collect gifts and give them out. So this church has a food pantry. People give to the church, and we do a food pantry for people right here, right out of our building. But we also give to our partnering ministries, Pleasantville Youth Initiative, that has a summer feeding program. We also give to our partner ministries, The Well, who helps people move towards stability in life, including in things through finances. We've given to Ukrainian refugees. I can't help the people in Afghanistan or Syria, but my heart goes out to them. But guess who God has put right in our midst is Ukrainian refugees who we make connections with through our food pantry. And so we have helped families get over here and we've helped them get into places and have jobs and that kind of thing. We've been a small part of that, but we've played a part in that. Because collectively, we've given it to Jesus. He's blessed it. He's broken it. He's multiplied it and given it back. We're going to talk more. We've got a team in Abaco right now, where a hurricane has come through, where Many Hands for Haiti is set up. There's Haitian refugees over there too, helping meet stability needs. Again, we couldn't all go over there. We couldn't all do it, but we give our gifts, we break them, and some give the gifts of time and using their vacation, and they head on over there to help them, and it's multiplied. Uganda, we've put, I don't remember, 4 or 5 wells for clean water in Uganda. We couldn't all, and we've had people go over there, and schools we're giving to every year for lots of them are orphans. Again, what happens when we say, "Give us our daily bread," and we're not just thinking about me, 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 me? This is my biggest takeaway. I've given sermon series on the Lord's Prayer multiple times, given sermons on different aspects or the Lord's Prayer as a whole multiple times in my life. The thing that is striking me most is to think about this prayer not just as things I should pray, but things I should pray that I would become the kind of person who would be the answer to these very prayers. That I would become the kind of person who would be the answer to these very prayers. And it's something, it's just strange. So you pray, "Okay, God, give me what I need today. But also help me to be the answer to what someone else needs today." So this week I met with somebody who is not a believer in Jesus, not really in God, actually not sure about God, but clearly not a believer. And at the end of the meeting, the person said to me, it was a great meeting, we had a good time, and the person said to me, this has been good for my soul. It's an interesting thing to say. I left that meeting, go to the prayer room. I come out of the prayer room, because it was my slot, and there's Pat Kading sitting there. And I said, hey, Pat, how you doing? And she was just praying because we set up one too few tables and for the ladies' luncheon, and the person was coming in to sit up, and she didn't know what to do, so she just prayed. She stopped and prayed, and I walk out the door. Now, that's, you know, a coincidence. But I had quite a few coincidences this week. I had quite a few coincidences this week. I mean, that's a simple thing. I can get the door unlocked. I can get the table out. It was easy. It was a few minutes and it was done. But the timing of it shows that God's in it. And so let's, just to review, the thing I was praying every week, especially a few weeks ago, is, Father, glorify your name. May you be known as you really are through me. Now the next one, the next week, may your kingdom come and your will be done. May what you want, not necessarily what I want, may that be what happens. But may you come. And now, may I be an answer to prayer. Give me what I need, but give me what I need so I can help other people and be what they need. Something happens when we start our prayers focusing on wanting to get in on God, what God's doing. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. I want to be part of that. And so now give me what I need to be part of that. You know, I need food. I need a place to live. I need things like that. There's all kinds of needs, and he is happy to give it to us. With that in mind, that I'm getting in on, I'm this week, I still have problems. I've still been a jerk a few times. Maybe more, I don't know. But I can remember a few times. There's some struggles. And I have seen, I don't want to exaggerate, but just now, I'm thinking of seven different things where it's like, God was in that. I bet if you gave me five more minutes, just in the last week, and granted, the last week's been a lot of prayer, but just in the last week, I could see that. I could see like, oh, that's how God showed up for me. Oh, that's something God used for me. Oh, this thing I've been praying about, God's at work in there. I'm not even involved in it, but I see God working in there. It is so short. Father, hallowed be your name. Kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. That's it. That's what we've covered so far. And you can pray it forever. All right. And, I mean, it's not just about praying. It's about like, and my life is changing. Okay. One more thing. Matthew 14, 35 through 36. This certainly isn't all the ways that you can pray this prayer of give us today our daily bread. I'm just trying to give you a sense of how you can just pick one aspect of the Lord's Prayer and think about it and pray about it and see what Jesus would think about it, and it just comes to life. Okay, verse 35. This is a prayer that we looked at last week that Jesus prayed. Going a little farther, Jesus fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will. So when Jesus says to take the cup from him, he's not talking about, I literally don't want to drink a cup of something, right? This is a metaphor, this is a picture, but it's a picture of something real. It's a picture of something he really be taking. What happens with a cup? We have something in a cup, ingredients, something in a cup, and it is outside of us. But those ingredients, if we take it and we drink it, what's outside of us comes into us and actually even becomes part of us. So Jesus is saying, take this cup from me that is filled with the sin, the wrongdoing, the failures of humanity that they deserve punishment for, that he doesn't. And he's saying, take this cup from me so I don't have to drink in and take what's not part of me and make it part of me to receive the punishment that we deserve in our place, saying, hey, I know how much this costs. If there's another way, please. But not what I will, what you will. Now, right before this, while they were eating, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. That sound familiar? He took the bread, he gave thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and then he gave it back. He's multiplying something. Remember, in 2 Corinthians, it says, he became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. He took this in and became sin, had it be part of him for us to take the punishment, take what we deserve, so that we might become the righteousness of God, so that we get what he deserves and we can become more like him. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. It's poured out for many, and so it's a cup available to many. We can take what's outside of us, Jesus, and bring it in. One last passage. This is following the John account of the feeding of the 5,000. There he's in a conversation after that. And he says, Adam, actually, can you, I don't know if you can, never mind, I think, where am I at? I'm just going to read it because it would take a little bit. Very truly, this is the verse before, and then we'll get into verse 48. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life, Jesus says. Then he said, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here's the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh. It's my body, which I will give for the life of the world. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we can pray for bread, literal bread, food, what we need spiritually. But we also pray for the bread of life. Give us this day Jesus. And we can take what's outside of us, his quality, his life itself, and we can bring it into us. He's made that a possibility. How exactly it works, I don't know. I don't get all the spiritual realm dimension, but it's over and over again pictures that we can take from him what's outside of us and what's good for us and bring it in, because he took what's outside of him and what was bad for him and brought it on himself for our sake. And that's the invitation today as we come to the table.